This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, July 16th, 2018. I'm Caleb Brown. Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin have had their meeting in Helsinki. The post-meeting news conference has been called disastrous, even treasonous. Chris Preble, Vice President for Defense and Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute, comments. This meeting between Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump, there was a lot that led up to it, in particular an indictment of several Russian people who were believed to have played a role in attempts to influence the 2016 presidential election, this massive indictment that came out just before this meeting. What should we take away from both the fact that this meeting was conducted in secret and the press conference that many people are just really very much up in arms about with respect to how little Donald Trump did to sort of back up U.S. intelligence agencies and also in public make statements about Russia's role in trying to influence the election?
Well, I think the two things go together, Caleb. I think that the fact that we are mostly focused on the credible allegations of Russian interference in the 2016 elections that have the stories have been around for some time. The indictment handed down on Friday by Robert Mueller is sort of the most thoroughgoing in terms of connecting to the Russian government, not merely Russian individuals, and maps out the potential for this linking up to people close to the at least close to the Trump campaign. We'll wait to see how that plays out, but precisely because that indictment was handed down, we have much more information, and not so surprisingly, all of the questions from nearly all the questions from the U.S. Press at the press conference were relating to that. And so, when President Trump repeated what he has many times over, sort of casting doubt on the impact of this interference, suggesting that it was there's just not much to it, and he's been inclined to do that from the very beginning. He does not wish for the appearance of Russian interference in the election to undermine the legitimacy of his presidency, which is how he's interpreted this story from the very beginning. And so I don't think we should be so surprised that that's where the focus has been. The great disappointment on my part is that there is a legitimate, credible case to be made for why the United States and Russia should have better relations than we do right now. There are many areas in which we should be able to cooperate, and there are real risks in the relationship remaining on a very poor footing. But precisely because of the context in which this meeting occurred, we are not talking about those other elements. We're mostly talking about the politics of the Russian meddling.
All right. So on these other important issues, what's the path forward? Presumably, you're talking about Syria and other related regional issues. But what's the path forward for those things?
Well, I think there were some allusions to the fact that senior national security officials in both Russia and the United States will now embark on a series of discussions on things related to arms control, Syria, perhaps Ukraine, and a few other areas, and that work will be done at the sort of so-called working level, not in the glare of cameras and followed by press conferences. And so perhaps that sort of hard work can be done without immediately being thrown into the lens of partisan politics. But the fact remains that Donald Trump will be the one who sort of the person sort of selling whatever negotiations produce by and what will look at least to some people as a concession perhaps, and therefore he's in a weaker position to sell those concessions to the American people and to leaders in Congress who, you know, if it's a treaty, they have to ratify it. And so and there are hearings, you know, those sorts of things. If we think through what might ultimately come out of protracted negotiations with the United States and the Russians, so long as Donald Trump is the face of those negotiations, there's going to be real difficulty.
Contrast that meeting with Putin, the one that just occurred, with the meeting of NATO leaders last week, and going back even further to the G7 summit.
Right. Well, I think that the juxtaposition between those meetings and the meeting today in Helsinki sort of affirms a suspicion that people have had for some time that President Trump really, really likes interacting with, for lack of a better word, autocrats, those people who are not as beholden to their people as he does dealing with leaders of democracies. We saw elements of that in his meeting with Kim Jong-un. He has spoken, and he spoke again today quite warmly of Xi Jinping and related. He interacts with Vladimir Putin, who has, you know, been reelected numerous times under questionable circumstances in Russia. He appears to be relatively popular, but still is an authoritarian, is a thug. And the president seems quite untroubled about interacting with such people, and again has sort of praised them from time to time for being strong and for the way in which their people support them. And at the same time, he was quite critical of European allies in, you know, sort of in their presence before them, sort of calling out Germany for supposedly being in the thrall of Russia because of the Nord Stream deal, the natural gas deal. He famously the meeting, the G7 meeting in Quebec ended quite badly. And when you compare and contrast these two meetings, or the several meetings, it sort of speaks to this sense that President Trump just has these authoritarian instincts. Now, I use that word quite carefully because it has quite a bit of baggage associated with it. I understand that. But he just doesn't seem to have placed great value on the importance of human liberty and self-governance and self-determination, and really sort of favors the strong man, the person who can sort of get things done and disregard or run roughshod over domestic dissent. And I think that really unsettles a lot of people here in the United States and our allies in Europe, especially, and this meeting simply fits within that broader context. And so I think, again, for all the good that can be said about the importance of decent relations between the United States and Russia, and not ignoring the historical situations where U.S. leaders have interacted with Soviet leaders that were even worse than Vladimir Putin. Let's not forget Joseph Stalin had much blood on his hands. So there are times when you interact with these people, even though you don't like them very much. The appearance of President Trump genuinely liking President Putin just really cuts against the sense that he's doing this out of a sense of, well, I have to do it. And as opposed to a sense that he really wants to do it. He'd much rather be, and he alluded to this, that he thought the Helsinki meeting would be easier than the meeting in Brussels, and his behavior today suggests a sort of ease of working with Vladimir Putin that he does not put forward when he's interacting with European leaders, just as we saw last week.
Okay, and add to that list Duterte of the Philippines and Erdogan of Turkey. This is John Brennan. He's the former CIA director of during the Obama years. He says, Donald Trump's press conference performance in Helsinki rises to and exceeds the threshold of high crimes and misdemeanors. It was nothing short of treasonous. Not only were Trump's comments imbecilic, he is wholly in the pocket of Putin. Republican patriots, where are you?
Right. So this is the last this is the perhaps the biggest problem of all, Caleb, is that the fact that John Brennan says that but is seen as being an Obama administration official ignoring the fact that he served both Republican and Democratic presidents over his long career. The fact that he is seen as an Obama person means that the things that he tweets about, the things that he utters are sort of disregarded by the president's core supporters and many Republicans. We operate in a space where truth and fiction is judged by whether you have an R or a D after your name. And so as much as John Brennan might be thoroughly disgusted by President Trump's performance today, frankly, what he says doesn't really matter to the people that President Trump is most interested in, and that is his core supporters who have demonstrated time and time again that they will stay with him no matter what he does and says.
Chris Preble is Vice President for Defense and Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast at iTunes and Google Play, and follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.